Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, can you believe Mick Jagger turns 80 today? 80!
I'm Tony Kornheiser. You know, I remember turning 80 when we launched this show. It's
oh,
just a number.
There you have it. Yeah, 102 for you. Okay, Mick Jagger,
Michael
not
Philip
incidental
Jagger.
To your life. Mick Jagger,
not
essential no. to your identity as a young man. You want to tell the people how it's evidenced?
There's no question about it. No, I mean, my son's name is Michael Phillip, and
there
Mick Jagger's name is Michael Phillip.
There we
and
go.
And when Mick Jagger had concerts in America, and I knew the bus driver, and he called his mother in England, and he got on the phone, he said, "Mom, it's Michael." He called himself Michael.
How great
That's
is that?
Wonderful.
Love it.
It's great.
Great
Welcome
name.
To PTI, boys
Hello.
And girls. In today's episode, Jim Harbaugh's possible suspension, Lionel Messi's big night, and the U.S. women take on the Netherlands at the World Cup. But we begin today with Justin Herbert signing a five-year, $262.5 million deal with close to $200 million guaranteed. Herbert's contract with the Chargers is $2.5 million more than Lamar Jackson's recent deal with the Ravens and $5 million more than Jalen Hurts' recent deal with the Eagles. Wilbon, of these three quarterbacks, which one would you most like to have?
Tony, it'd be a toss-up for me between Herbert and Jackson. I mean, I know Jackson's more proven in that he's already won an MVP, a league MVP. He also, the last two seasons, has been injured. At the end of those seasons, late in those seasons. I remember one of those weeks I bought tickets to come here to Chicago to see Lamar Jackson, and he was not on the field. And that's a problem given his style of play, the daring nature with which he goes about his business, which makes him both an MVP and at risk. Herbert, I know, again, less accomplished. We're projecting here. I would take those guys. I know Hurts. You know, has obviously, Tony, I mean, he's come that close to doing the whole thing. But, I mean, Hurts. But I'm going to put him third. And it's a narrow third. I'd have him. Right. But I'm going to go Herbert and Jackson. Jackson and Herbert, you take one. I'm going to take the other.
Yeah, I mean, we are similar in this. I love Lamar Jackson, but I fear for his health.
Yes.
You know, he's been injured a lot. I love Jalen Hurts. I don't love his arm. And he runs almost as much as Lamar Jackson. They are both more accomplished than Herbert. One, as you said, is an MVP. The other got to the Super Bowl. But I think I would take Herbert because he is a great passer, and the rules now favor great passers. But I'll tell you this, Mike. If in 2 weeks or 2 months Joe Burrow signs a new contract, I'm going to take Joe Burrow. And if you put all the quarterbacks together in a room, I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I mean... The records are different here. Herbert is, I believe, 25-24 as a starter for the Chargers and 0-1 in the playoffs. It's sort of misleading because he got 27 points
it's
in the first half and then the
We're
defense
projecting.
Went down the drain. But the other guy, Lamar Jackson, is 45-16 for the Ravens.
But
he has one playoff win. It's not much, but it's one more than Herbert. Jalen Hurts has two. He has two playoff wins, and he's 23-11 for the Eagles, including 14-1. But I'm stuck in who I am, Mike, and I view Justin Herbert as I view the Tom Brady model, the passer who can win.
Would you take him over the kid in Buffalo, Herbert?
I'm
Josh
not
Allen.
Sure, because the kid in Buffalo is big and strong and doesn't get hurt and can throw and run. Yeah.
He's in harm's way,
I'm not
though.
Sure.
But look.
Yep.
There's a half dozen guys you take, maybe eight. And there's 15 you live with. And after that, it gets really skinny.
That's right.
Slim pickings.
That's right.
Let's move to the reports that Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh is likely to be suspended for the first four games of this season. The suspension would be a negotiated settlement for allegedly lying to NCAA investigators during their probe of the alleged recruiting violations during the COVID-19 recruiting dead period. Tony, Michigan went 13-1 last season and is among the playoff favorites heading into this one. So would this suspension of Harbaugh be a big deal, little deal, or no deal at all to you?
Well, I know that you think it's a little deal because you went on this show yesterday and you said the first four games are exhibition games. It's East Carolina, UNLV, who's the other one?
Is
help me out
Eastern
here.
Michigan or a
Bowling
Central
Green.
Michigan?
No, Bowling Green.
Bowling Green.
But the fourth one, you know, I add parenthetically, the fourth one against Rutgers is a Big Ten game. And if that's an exhibition game, then what is Rutgers doing in the Big Ten?
They're getting better.
Let me move on. I think this is a big deal.
Wow.
And I think it's a big deal, not for the games. I think it's a big deal because Jim Harbaugh is among the most accomplished, most respected, most vocal, big-time college football coaches in the country. And Michigan is an academic pillar as a public institution. And if he lied to NCAA investigators, that's bad. I know that the original offense is nickel and dime stuff. It's about burgers for recruits. But the lying changes it, Mike. It's a bad look for Harbaugh. It's a bad look for Michigan. It's a bad look for the Big Ten, which is having bad looks at the moment, and I don't have to tell you that. And I think this is how they get politicians, for lying to Congress. I just think it's a big deal.
You know, Tony, if we take the morality storyline, it is a big deal. It's a bad look. I'll grant you that. But in the context of what college football is and what we remember after about a minute and a half, by the time we get to Thanksgiving weekend and Ohio State versus Michigan, it's just not going to be a big deal. I'm looking at bottom line. Yeah, Tony, I'm not going to disagree with you. First of all, Jim Harbaugh is big enough, a big enough figure, and has got enough stature, enough weight, enough tenure in coaching football, period, pro and college level, to look at people, look at the investigators and say, I bought the damn burgers. Now, what are you going to do about it? I'll take a swing at you. I bought the burgers. And then you take the consequences. So I agree, that would have been better. Sort of the John Wayne approach to buying the burgers and recruiting violations during their period. In terms of, I'm looking largely on the field. Because, Tony, come the middle of October, I think they're going to kill Rutgers. I know Rutgers is better.
We're agreed.
I follow that.
We are agreed that on the field it doesn't mean much. But about Harbaugh, he's not Hugh Freeze. He's not Art Briles.
No.
He's done things of consequence, and I've agreed with many of his positions. So
and holds himself out there as different and above.
That's right.
And this, he should have gone after the investigators, and he didn't. I'm disappointed in that.
There's one set of rules, and Jim Harbaugh knows them. It's arrogant to just flout them like this. It is to me. We move now to soccer, where Lionel Messi did it again. After scoring the game-winning goal in his MLS debut last Friday, Messi scored two goals and assisted on another in his second MLS game last night. Inter Miami beat Atlanta United 4-0, and all the headlines deservedly went to Messi. Wilbon, did Messi exceed the bar that he set in game one?
I'm not going to say exceed the bar because the game one moment is something that even, you know, non-soccer heads can appreciate. You can always appreciate drama in any sport, even if you're not into it. If you're not into that thing, you can appreciate a walk-off home run from an aging super god of a baseball player. You can appreciate a last-second basket in a game, you know, by one of the all-time greats. You don't have to be into that thing. What Messi did last night, I mean, he played better for longer. I mean, when did he come out? Like the 87th minute or, I don't know, 70-something minute, whatever it was. But, no, I'm going to go with the game. The game won dramatic, Tony. Look, he may top that. He may do this again. You know, if he stays healthy and he's one of the best players in this league, yeah, he could do it again. I'm not going to put it past him, but game one, that's framed for a while, maybe forever.
Let me just say that he's got game three coming up, and he could score three goals in that, or he could break his leg, and it's not going to matter because of what he has done already. I'm going to sort of reject the notion that there's a bar out there, but I'm going to say this about Lionel Messi. It seems evident to me that he is likely the greatest player who has ever played in MLS, and I think he is closer still to his peak than Pelé was and Beckenbauer and Canalia and Cruyff when they came over in the 70s to the NASL. This is a guy who understands what it is like to be a superstar and delivers on being a superstar. My basic point about Messi is that he's living on a hotel floor. He's the only one on the floor. He's better than everyone else. You know what it's like, Mike? It's like there's this great movie that you haven't seen and your parents saw it and your grandparents saw it and they tell you it's great. And you say to yourself, it can't be that great. It can't be that. And then you see it and it is that great. And that to me is what Messi is doing right now.
You know, Tony, it could be, you know, we've seen a lot of this lately. We saw it with Brady. We've seen it and are seeing it with LeBron. And you know what? I just think as observers of sport, you and I have been chroniclers of sport worldwide. You got to appreciate it. You have to say, again, whether is your favorite thing or not, my God, look at this guy.
I'm not a soccer guy, but I understand this guy is just 8 months away from winning the World Cup. He's still
Ballon d'Or.
He's worth it. He is showing
you. Are you going to get Apple TV?
He gave me a lot of money. Look what I do.
You going to get Apple TV to watch MLS, huh?
I think I'm going to get a two-way hookup with Taylor Twellman just to feed him into my ear when he's calling the games. Let's take a break. Coming up, the U.S. women face the Netherlands tonight. What should we expect?
And what's the best word to describe the triple play that the Braves pulled off last night? Yeah, I agree, right?
He's the best that's ever played in America, right? He's the best.
Yeah. Because those guys were closer to an E on the tank. He's got a lot left in the tank. We've seen it. We've already seen it in the last few days.
Seems that way, yeah.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona, part of Happy Hour.
This honorary doctor of humane letters is ready to make some magical words. What's first?
Tonight's World Cup game against the Netherlands should be a blank test for the U.S. women.
My word is nostalgic. Okay, this was the World Cup final 4 years ago, the United States against the Netherlands. We won that game 2-0, I believe. We had a different coach then. We had different players. 14 of our players are new. The Netherlands had a different coach then. They had different players. I hope I pronounce this correctly. Their best player, Vivian Medema, is out now. So almost everything has changed, Mike. I mean, we have these concerns that we're not as good as we were then. The Dutch have these concerns that they're not as good as they were then. So I'm not certain that this game is predictive, and I think it's nostalgic rather than predictive.
Tony, I'm not going to say predictive either. I'm going to say defining for many of the reasons that you mentioned. The Netherlands are 9th in the FIFA World Rankings. I mean, they are a threat to win the whole thing if we just base on rankings. We got to base something on rankings this early in the tournament. So I'm gonna say that. And after the first game, I mean, the U.S. won that game 3-0 against Vietnam. But, you know, it was 2-0 for much of it. They scored one goal late to sort of put it out of reach. Not that Vietnam was any real threat. But you're looking at the U.S. team going, okay, what do you got for me? Because it's got to be better than that. And the coach is not on a hot seat, but everybody, again, for the reasons that you said, is saying, okay, let's see more. Tonight is the night, Tony, defining. You want to see what you can do against the top 10 world-ranked team? We're going to find out.
It's on at 9 o'clock, right? I mean, we get 9 to see o'clock. It if we want to see it.
Yeah, no streaming. Just turn your TV on.
The triple play the Braves executed against the Red Sox was blank.
It was historic. It was started by the center fielder. It's an 8-3-5 triple play. Surely, Wilbon, you kept a scorebook when you were a kid and you could find an 8-3-5 in the scorebook. But if you could,
not really.
It would be because you were keeping score in 1884, the last time it happened, between the Boston Bean Eaters and the Providence Grays. Runners on first and second, shallow fly ball to center field, catch it, double up the runner, caught in no man's land between first and second, and then go to third because the dope on second decided, I think I can make third. They threw the ball to first. It is terrible base running, but it never happens. 8-3-5 never happens.
Yeah, Tony, it never happens, but... And I'm going to say it's Little League because that's where it does happen. It might not happen. I think I remember I was trying to make a phone call last night to find out if I was a part of this combination as a first baseman in Little League right here on the south side where, you know, Boo Stewart winds up catching a ball in center field and throwing it to me at first base. And I fired the ball over to third to Michael
Who's
Fats.
Who's the third?
But he was the catcher,
Michael.
And he was covering third because we were that
third.
Fundamentally sound. The catcher had gone up the line to third base to get my throw and make the tag. So I haven't been able to pin this down yet, Tony, because everybody is too damn old to remember any details. But in my head, it happened, and it happened in Little League, and even that would have been 52 years ago.
Check the scorebook that you kept as a kid. You'll find out.
That's
the
playing.
Final word.
I couldn't get the scorebook.
Let's take one last break. Your brother was keeping score, but still to come.
He was playing too.
How should Saquon Barkley feel about one of his blockers getting a much bigger new deal?
And the Astros keep things rolling against the Rangers. Don wound up being a better Little League player than me. He wanted to be. I was good. He was better than me. I hate that. I hate admitting that even all these years.
That's all right. It's good that you said that. By the way, where's the NFLPA on the running backs? Where's the NFLPA fighting for the running backs?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 84th birthday, Bob Lilly. History lesson, kids. Lilly was the Dallas Cowboys franchise's first draft pick, 1961, after being an All-American defensive lineman at TCU. Lilly was so outstanding for his 14 seasons in Dallas that he was nicknamed Mr. Cowboy. At 6'5 and 260, Lilly started off at defensive end, then switched to defensive tackle, where he was first-team All-Pro 6 times, made 11 Pro Bowls. He was durable, playing in 196 consecutive regular season games. Lilly was named to the NFL's 100th anniversary team, and he was on Dallas's Super Bowl VI winning team. He was especially effective as a pass rusher and run defender, even while being continually double-teamed, and he is in the Hall of Fame.
Tony, it's hard to come up with a contemporary comp. As great as Aaron Donald is, the size difference is amazing. I mean, Lilly, as you mentioned, was so big. The Bosas, they do their work outside mostly. I'm thinking maybe Chris Jones, who's maybe holding out Kansas City, because he's like 6'4", 6'5", and 300 pounds. But it's hard to come up with somebody who could do it inside and out like we saw in those clips from Bob Lilly.
Not so happy anniversary to the Pirates. On this day 12 years ago, the then first place Pirates lost a marathon 19-inning game to the Braves. The end of the game came when home plate umpire Jerry Meals called Julio Lugo safe at home, even though every replay, which was not consulted then, showed that Lugo was out by about 3 feet. Ground ball to third, throw home,
look at out. That. What?
You can make the case this is one of the worst calls ever. Conspiracists speculated at the time that the umps just wanted to go home. The game was nearing 7 hours. I get it. They're out there. There's no dugout to relax in, no food, no drinks. But Lugo was out by a mile, Mike.
He's wiping the glove on the base runner, wiping it on him. What are we talking about here? I mean, that's a bad call. But you know what, Tony, in the old days when that happened in sports, the ump or referee would look at the player and say, I'll get you next time. You'll get it back. Just, you know, I blew it. Now, because of the reviews and the reports and all that stuff, maybe you don't get calls that bad anymore, but I think you might.
A melancholy trails to Rocky Wirtz, the owner of the Chicago Blackhawks, died Tuesday at the age of 70. Wirtz took over the team after his father passed away in 2007 and spurred a rebuilding around Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane that led to three Stanley Cups in 2010, 2013, and 2015. Wirtz was also atop the franchise when practice squad player Kyle Beach sued the team, alleging he had been sexually assaulted by then video coach Brad Aldrich. A subsequent investigation found no evidence that Rocky Wirtz had been aware of the allegations prior to the lawsuit, but it led to the departures of the team's president, GM, and coach. Rocky Wirtz's son, Danny, is the team's current CEO.
Yeah, Tony, Rocky Wirtz's dad, Bill Wirtz, of course, was a much more famous owner over a really long period of time. But he didn't have the kind of concentrated success that Rocky Wirtz did running that franchise. It was another, at least one more conference final. I remember a Game 7 loss in 2014 on a deflection in overtime that makes me crazy even now. But they had great success, and he was at the top of that pyramid for that. And the aftermath wasn't good, but he had a long stretch that was.
We are running out of show, and we go to the big finish. The Brewers beat the Reds today to win that series. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, Milwaukee wins the series 10-3, Tony. And, you would maybe establish some sort of feeling of superiority over a division rival. Yeah, Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez are back in the Astros lineup tonight. Is that a big deal?
Oh, that's a big deal. They're two of their best hitters. Houston's getting hot right now. They've won two in a row against the Rangers. Yeah. They can tie them if they beat them again. The Giants gave offensive lineman Andrew Thomas a five-year extension worth $67 million guaranteed. How should Saquon Barkley feel about that?
Physically more comfortable. I don't know, emotionally, my God, what do I have to do? You guys are just giving away money, and Danny Dimes should feel pretty good, too. At least the Giants are covering their investment on both of them. DeMar Hamlin will be a, get this, Tony, full go at Bills training camp. What do you think about that?
I want him to be healthy, whether he plays football or not. And if he plays football, I hope he's great at it. Last one, the Cubs go for their league best fifth win in a row tonight. Do you like their chances?
Oh, yeah. I like Stroman. I like Stroman anytime he's going out there, Tony. Even though the team has been reluctant to commit to him, I like him and the Cubbies to get closer to 500.
Don't get too attached to Stroman with the trade deadline coming up. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knucklehead. You can get the podcast on ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. Your sports show.